exercise. Blood flow restricted rehabilitation allows significant strength gains with minimal stress to the involved joint. This is ideal for anyone that is unable to tolerate high intensity workouts, including pre and post surgery. PT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
And good Saturday morning. Welcome to Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com. Greg Ray along with Dylan Sherwood on this Saturday morning, the final Saturday of March, believe it or not.
Can't believe it.
And as part of this final Saturday of March, don't forget the Kiwanis Club of Emporia is holding their 75th annual Pancake Day. They're already serving. They've been serving since 7 o'clock this morning. They'll go until 1 o'clock. It's all the pancakes you can eat, plus two Fantastil meats, bacon sausage links, one milk, an unlimited coffee. They are serving indoor at the Anderson Building. Costs $7 or $9 at the door. You can also get it to go for carryout as well, so a lot of an opportunity. If you're wondering, what do I want to do for breakfast? Well, it's all you can eat pancakes at the Kiwanis Pancake Day, which is always a great deal that goes on every year. It helps support all the activities that the Kiwanis Club of Emporia does do. Also going on today, Emporia State softball, they'll be hosting Lincoln in a doubleheader. Also, ESU relays getting underway, resuming later on this morning. And also, Emporia State women's tennis will be going on in town today as the Lady Hornets take on Nebraska Kearney. Those matches get underway, I believe, about noon at the Consover Family Tennis Complex. Track and field will get underway about 11:30, resume at 11:30 with field events and track events starting at noon. We'll talk with Coach D. Blocker here later on in this show. But first up, we welcome in Emporia State softball coach April Rosales to Saturday Morning Sports Talk. Her team at home this weekend celebrating 50 years of Emporia State softball. Yesterday taking on Central Missouri. Today they'll take on Lincoln. And first off, good morning, Coach Rosales.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
We're doing good. Well, let's first talk about yesterday's baseball or softball doubleheader. Your team taking on Central Missouri and lose the first game 5-4. I thought your team showed a lot of fight. Almost pulled off the come from behind victory. Left the tying run on base, and I think maybe even had the go ahead run on base, but. You battled back against a very good Central Missouri team. Unfortunately, they also won the second game of that doubleheader, but you had to be pleased with the way your girls battled in both of those games.
Yeah, you know, I thought that we battled really well in that first game. I just think that we waited too long to do the battling. So we were a little frustrated with that, but I was super proud of how they responded there in that last inning. You know, we had the winning run on first base, so I think that's something that says a lot about them, but we have to be able to do that in game two as well and make sure that we're punching back every time that we get punched in the mouth. And that's kind of something that we talked about. And what I summarized at the end of the day is, you know, we've got to continue to battle and throughout the game and make sure that we're taking some pressure off of our pitchers so that we're able to play a little more freely defensively as well. So I just think that, you know, it's small things. It's nothing physical, really, I don't believe. I think it's more of a mental thing that we've got to overcome right now.
And then today you get Lincoln University, a team that is, when you look at their record, is struggling. But as the case is in a lot of athletic competition in the MIAA, you don't take anybody for granted.
No, absolutely not. And the game of softball and baseball are so much different in that anybody can beat anybody on any given day. It's whoever is going to show up and have the better day at bat-wise and pitching-wise. You know, everybody could have a bad day at the wrong time. So I think that's something that we've got to make sure that the girls are focused on and make sure that, again, we're taking it one pitch at a time and just trying to go 1-0 for that first game and worry about the first game first. And once we get that out of the way, then we worry about the second one. But, you know, again, just taking the approach of one thing at a time and making sure that we're doing the best we can on that. And then when failure happens, because inevitably it will in our game, we respond faster than the other team.
Oh, you had an opportunity to take the girls to Hawaii for spring break, played four games, as you look at those games that you played in Hawaii, what kind of stands out about the way the girls played?
Well, I think offensively we did really well in Hawaii. I think that we had the opportunity. I mean, we were winning every single one of the games that we played, and especially against Hawaii Pacific, scored a lot of runs. And so I think that's something that I was really happy about while we were there. It was the defense that didn't play that well, and pitching that didn't come through as much as we had the rest of the season. So, again, it's just putting together a whole team effort, and that's something that I think will come. We've just got to, again, figure out that mental piece so that when we do have the failure, because it will happen, and in every game, that failure is going to happen to someone, who's going to respond faster.
As you look at the, I guess you probably say you're, what, halfway through the season right now. What kind of, what stands out about your team? What are you pleased with?
Well, I really think that we have probably the best talent that we've had overall as a team. And we don't have a lot. We have 17, and I would guess that 12 to 14 of those play consistently. But speed-wise, we're super fast. I think we already have 90 stolen bases on the year, and I think we've played 36, 38 games. I think that's something that says a lot about just the type of talent that we have. And if we can get that going and triggered in the right direction, we're going to surprise a lot of people and kind of be that sneaky team that comes through and does something really good.
But you still have the bulk of the MIAA season left to go. And as I look at the schedule, though, this is a, your team has a great opportunity to put together a nice run and have a, you know, gain some momentum going. It's hard to believe, but just a little over a month away from beginning of MIAA tournament play.
Yeah, absolutely. We definitely have the opportunity, and that's what I tried to focus on too yesterday, is letting the girls see that we still have that run that we can make, and just understanding to learn from the mistakes that we've made to this point, and you know, move forward and be better the next time we're put in those situations, and honestly, be more confident when we are put in those situations so that we can perform. Because I think that there are times that they kind of self-doubt, and once we can get them out of that funk, that's when they perform the best. So just, again, giving them some more confidence, finding a way for them to believe in themselves and each other, and understand that they don't have to do it all every single day, that they have teammates that will help them out. Once we get to that point, we're really going to do something special.
Coach, what's a strength right now that you probably haven't seen at the start of the season? What's a strength that you've seen your girls get better at that you didn't see at the start of the season?
I think just overall at-bats, the quality of them. We were okay with, well, not, I wouldn't want to say okay, I guess, but we weren't adjusting very well at the beginning of the season as we moved through just even an at-bat. And I thought that, I think the girls have worked really hard at that and making some adjustments as we're actually in at-bats, as opposed to having to wait until the very next at-bat to make any adjustments. And so I think just taking what they're hearing from us and pregame scouting, all of that, and actually implementing it is something that we've definitely gotten better at, but they have to be confident in those changes as well as we move forward.
Well, you mentioned special, and this is a special weekend for Emporia State softball as you're celebrating 50 seasons of Emporia State softball, and there's been a lot of success over those 50 years. You go back to the mid-80s and national championships and national tournament appearances, and even to the mid-2000s where there were some national tournament appearances for Emporia State softball. So there's a lot of rich history, and this weekend you're taking some time out to recognize those players who help build the foundation and make the Emporia State softball and build the history that it has.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you said it. It's a rich history. We've had success in every decade that we've played for the most part, and I think that says a lot about, you know, the people that came before us and kind of the shoulders that we stand on. And I think that's really important for the girls to see as well, and understand and meet some of those people that made that happen and got us to where we are today. And so I think it's really important for them to be able to actually sit down and meet some of those people. And so I'm really excited that we have We probably have 10 to 15 back, but some from every decade, and I think that's something that's really cool that I got to go eat with some of the ladies from the 90s last night, and it's just awesome to hear, you know, the stories from their time here, what they went through, you know, the battles that they had compared to what we go through, and some are similar and some are really different, but it's something that, you know, you learn a lot and helps put you in perspective, too, of what's going on.
And I'm sure some of those that played in the before they you moved over to the Trestler Sports Complex talk about playing on the old Lady Hornet softball field over where the rec fields are at now, and probably talk about some of the – they probably said, I wish we would have had some of this stuff now then.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, and that's the thing is we came from so little and we have so much now, and sometimes it seems like so little compared to others in our conference. But in the long scheme of things, grand scheme of things, when you really think about it, compared to what we had back then, we have a lot more now. So it's just perspective and making sure that the girls, again, understand kind of where we came from and what this program is about and the tradition that they are trying to uphold year in and year out.
And yesterday you had an opportunity to recognize a former teammate of yours who was recently inducted into the Emporia State Athletic Hall of Honor, Angela Mahan, who had a spectacular career at Emporia State. As you was mentioned yesterday, she was a freshman when you were a senior, and even then you could see that she had the possibilities of having an outstanding career. But what a great honor for Angela.
Oh, my gosh. Love the girl, and probably one of my favorite teammates I've ever had, and I just can't say enough about her and just the work ethic that she had and the competitive spirit and drive. I mean, yesterday even, she still has it, just trying to warm up to throw a strike for her first pitch. I mean, that's the competitive fire that I want to have in all of our girls, and you know, they're begging, I just want to put the uniform on one more time, and you know, so that's the thing and why those teams were so good is just that competitive edge and the competitive fire that they have and had back then as well, and the want to and the work ethic and all of that. I mean, they had it and she had it, and she deserves this and everything else that comes to her award wise because she was that person, worked for it, earned it.
So what are some of the activities you have on tap today for the alumni and for those that are back for the celebration of 50 years of softball?
Well, we have them back, so they'll get into the games, obviously, be able to come in and kind of reminisce, watch us play. They'll get some vouchers and stuff for some food throughout, kind of the doubleheader. Obviously, they're a little longer, and we'll recognize everybody by decade in between games. And then after the games, we're going to do a meal over on Hannah Clubhouse. So get to have the team actually sit down and have a meal with, hopefully, the majority of them stick around and get to do that. And, again, learn lessons. I remember when my very first year here in Emporia back in 2005, Coach Bredbinder brought in the 1980 team because they were being inducted into the Hall of Honor, and it was their 25th anniversary of them winning the AW title. And I just that always hit me and always stuck with me in hearing their stories and, again, the camaraderie in the team and just how close they still were 25 years later, I think, said a lot about that and just always was something I wanted to do if I ever got into that position as well.
Well, Coach, thanks for taking time out and visiting with us this morning. Good luck this afternoon against Lincoln, and also enjoy this weekend in celebrating 50 years of Emporia State softball.
I appreciate you guys. Thanks for the support.
That's Emporia State softball coach April Rosales joining us here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We'll take our first break. You're listening to Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongbineAuto.com.
At Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia, our annual March Savings Mania event is back for another year. The fun is here, and so is your chance for special March savings. We have new Chevy models in stock and more arriving every day. Save thousands in interest alone with 0% APR financing up to 36 months on select new 2023 Chevy Silverado models, including crew cabs. And when you purchase any new or used vehicle in stock, you'll get 5 free throw attempts for an extra $100 savings for every free throw you make up to $500. Don't forget to let our service professionals keep your vehicles running in top condition with our spring service specials. It's our annual March Savings Mania Sales Event, and it's right here at Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come in today or visit us at longbineauto.com. Chevy, find new roads. Offers for qualified buyers with GMF financing. All rebates assigned to dealer, tax and fees extra. See dealer for full details.
I'm Ryan Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. The dynasty continues in women's hockey.
And that's it. Wisconsin wins the 2023 National Championship. Their third in the last four tournaments. The Badgers, the first program in history to win seven NCAA women's ice hockey titles.
Read Magnum on 100.9 FM and iHeartRadio as Wisconsin defeated Ohio State 1-0 in Duluth, Minnesota. Freshman Kirsten Sims scored the only goal of the game in the first period. Senior goalie Cammie Crownis shut out the Buckeyes to earn Frozen Four MVP honors.
Looking back at the start of the season, just seeing how far we've come as a group, we stuck together through the hard times, and we knew that we could do great things.
All seven of their titles have been under head coach Mark Johnson, who was a member of the 1980 gold medal winning men's Olympic hockey team. He's been the head coach at his alma mater since 2002.
It's giving them an experience that they had today, but 5 years from now, 10 years from now, they're going to appreciate it way more than they do today.
More history when we return, but on the diamond instead of the ice. That's next on This Week in the NCAA.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Thinking about gas mileage? You know, changing your oil with a full synthetic oil like Mobil 1 can help your engine get more miles. Right now, you can get 5 quarts with an STP Extended Life Oil Filter for only $38.99. Get started on your next job today with the parts you need when you need them at AutoZone or AutoZone.com.
Get in zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Brown University became the first woman to play in a D1 baseball game last week. The utility player pinch hit in her team's home opener, grounding out in the Bears' loss. The freshman from Queens, New York, made the team as a walk-on after trying out last fall. That's This Week in the NCAA. I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
Welcome back. Saturday morning sports talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com, along with Dylan Sherwood. I'm Greg Ray. Did want to mention, forgot to mention before we went to break, Emporia State softball today, Lincoln. Doubleheader starts at noon out at the Tressler Sports Complex. So if you want to make your way out at the Tressler Sports Complex, it sounds like looking at the forecast, it's supposed to warm up to almost 60 degrees this afternoon. So wind is supposed to be out of the west to begin with and move to the south. But maybe reaching 60 degrees before it's all said and done this afternoon. Also going on today on the Emporia State campus, the ESU relays that'll wrap up. They started on Thursday with the multi-events, wrapped up yesterday. Emporia State's Erin Trost finished second in the decathlon and the heptathlon. Abigail Reed placed third. She had a provisional qualifying score. Victoria Petty finished in eighth place. And with that, we say good morning to Emporia State track and field coach Steve Blocker, who joins us this morning. Good morning, coach.
Hey, good morning, guys. Thanks for having me.
Well, it looks like today's going to be a little better day weather-wise for you for this final day of the ESU relays. Sun's going to be shining a little bit and maybe even warm up before the day's finally over with.
Yeah, that's the that's the thing we always try to order up. You know, it's everyone, it's kind of funny in track lore, I guess, you know, they'll congratulate you if it's a great meet. I think 50% of it's based upon the weather, which, of course, we have nothing to do with, but we'll take it. It's going to be a nice day, that's for sure.
Well, you had to battle through some weather yesterday, especially later in the day once the rain moved in after 5 o'clock, but through the first couple days of this ESU relays for your athletes, you have to be pretty excited about what you've seen from some of your athletes.
Yeah, it was good. You know, I mean, with the conditions, you know, turning kind of sour towards the last half of the day there or the evening, you know, really, really proud of our group. I mean, they did outstanding. So many PRs and good PRs. You know, they were putting out some nice marks for themselves. They were placing well, and that was kind of the mentality I wanted them to have going into this thing. Was, you know, we can't control the weather, whatever it's going to be. you know, control what you can control type of a thing, and be aggressive. Go out there in attack mode. It's our track kind of a thought, and they really turned up and did a great job. So we had some great marks. We're really proud of them as a group.
Yeah. We mentioned Abigail Reed finishing third in the heptathlon, but a provisional qualifying score for nationals. What a great start for the outdoor season for Abigail.
Yeah, that was it's a better start than where she was this time last year, you know, so we're really, really happy with that. There's that little bit of that bittersweetness. You know, you always want a little bit more. And in the combined events, the heptathlon, the decathlon, there's always error. There's always room for error. And you go back and you think, well, if I would have just done this here, or maybe a little bit more there, a few centimeters here or there, you know, what it could have been. And so I think she's right on the brink. You know, she feels that, you know, so, but she did. She had a great opener. She placed real well, got us some team points, which is what we want, especially at an early season meet like this. But she knows she can do a lot better, and we got a lot higher aspirations.
And then Aaron Trost on the men's side, finishing second in the decathlon, was that a little bit of a surprise, or was this something that you were hoping to see from him?
You know, that was definitely something we were hoping to see. You know, we know he can score a lot better, and it's going to take a little bit more, and he knows that, to get us some points at the MIAA championship. You know, we're really proud of him. You know, he's a big body. He's been kind of riddled with some ticky-tack injuries throughout time, but we know that he's got a lot of ability, and he's really focused and determined on his training. And so we did the MIAA heptathlon, which he did score for us there, and then had a quick turnaround, did his first decathlon, and he really did really well. You know, so he does a good job of just remaining mentally stable and even keeled throughout the entire event. And so really proud of him for that.
And, of course, Alyssa Conway winning the hammer throw, provisional throw for nationals. I won't say she probably picked up where she left off, but a great start to maybe even improve on what she did a year ago.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you know, she's really come a long way. You know, when you really think about, you know, we joke with Alyssa that she's one of those COVID athletes, and she redshirted early in her career, so we give her a hard time about having been here for a while, but you know, she really came to us a javelin thrower, so she had no hammer background. You know, and it's been an up and down for her at times, but she has been consistent with, like you said, the big performance, the big mark. She can produce that. She's really well coached by Kelsey Trimble. Right now she's, you know, Kelsey's doing a great job with our throwers, and so really proud of that group, and have seen Alyssa hit a big one. We're pretty confident that'll get her into the national championship right there with that mark. So a huge opener for Alyssa.
And then a couple of other performances stand out. Taylor Millison, the Emporia High product. She won the open shot put.
Yeah, you know, I mean, again, I just, you know, Millie's she's a great young lady. She'll be done eligibility-wise with us this year. So I think she, you know, some of those seniors can feel, hey, this is one of my last chances on this track. And again, you know, give all the credit to Taylor. She really showed up when she needed to. Kelsey's got that group really firing on all eight cylinders right now.
Is Taylor one of those athletes that could really help you out once you get closer to the MIAAs?
We think so. You know, she had a really great performance, a very clutch performance last year at the indoor championship, and she got on a podium. You know, and we had a few things go our way on that particular day, but she has the talent. You know, she works hard. She's a good young lady. She is well coached again by Kelsey, and you know, we think the it's all right there for her. We know she can do it. You know, she's just got to kind of take that final step and put it all together.
Well, events resume at 11:30 this morning with the field events, and then at noon with the track events. Who are some of your athletes that'll be competing today? If somebody wants to come out and watch them compete, that might be worth their while to see them compete.
You know, that's a great question. I mean, really, you know, we've kind of had over the years those standout individuals, and we still have a few of those. But past couple years, we've really had to try to shift our focus to trying to be balanced and really try to get points from every event area. So, you know, I'll give you I don't know if it's a good or a bad answer, but the whole thing. You can come out and hang out with us all day. I mean, it's going to be a good meet. I mean, we've had over 1,000 athletes here again. So I think everyone's amped up, a little bit tired, but amped up, ready to go for today with the weather. You know, we've got Indian Hills Community College here, one of the best sprints programs in the country. So the 100 meters is going to be pretty good. Pittsburgh State will be here. So 400 meters is going to be pretty darn good. But, you know, Jasmine Hurla will be out there today. Our relays will be running later today. So we're just excited for hopefully we can do is finish on a high note and put together a complete meet.
Hey, Coach, I wanted to ask you, since we had you on today, you guys have the ESU high school relays coming up on Friday. How's that shaping up? I know Emporia High will be one of the teams participating.
Yeah, that one, that meet has really turned into a good meet for us. You know, something that started, you know, we thought of this. I thought, you know, we need to have a high school meet. We've got a great outdoor track. Emporia High has always, you know, they'll bring the league meet in here, and it's a good meet, you know. So we thought we really need to showcase our facilities and our university. I think last year we had 500 or 600 athletes at that meet. We actually had a team from Kansas City, Missouri, and then we had a team from Iowa come down. So we're really trying to promote it, build it up. It's been a great meet for us. The coaches are real good with the feedback. So hopefully we can just keep it rolling. Don't know if we want to get much bigger. It might become a little unmanageable for us, but we're excited to keep hosting it.
How many teams are you expecting?
I honestly haven't looked. I think all the teams that were there last year are coming back again, and I hate to even speculate. I thought we had over a dozen high school teams, maybe 15 to 20 or so. You know, I know Casey Piper comes down. I'm drawing a blank on some of the other schools. We got some schools out of the Wichita area as well. So it's turned into a pretty solid competition for us.
One other thing, I'm looking over the schedule for Friday, and I know Emporia High, when they went to the Topeka West Invitational on Thursday, that the girls and the boys each ran a 1,500-meter steeplechase, which is an event you normally don't see and you don't see at the state meet. But you're adding a 2,000-meter steeplechase. But how exciting is that for high schoolers to get an opportunity to run the steeplechase?
Yeah, we think it's exciting. You know, when we put the goal track in, we wanted to make sure that we had basically the lines, the marks on the track in order to run that event. Because it is, like you said, it's not at the high school meet, but it is at the collegiate level. Or it's not at the high school state meet, but you know, it gives them an opportunity to do something different. Hopefully they come away with a special experience on our track and really trying to cater to the high school athlete and give them as many opportunities as we can. So it's fun to watch. It's short and sweet, and it's different for them. So we'll definitely be having that.
And it looks like field events will begin at 3 with track events beginning around 4:15, correct, on Friday?
That is correct. Yep, you got it. Yep.
Well, the university relays resume this morning. You mentioned a couple of junior colleges and Division II schools, but you also have some Division I schools that are competing. I know Kansas State has athletes competing this weekend.
Yeah, that's right. You know, and they had some good performances in the combined events, and I think they had some athletes on the track last night. And South Dakota State came down with a few athletes, and so it's. The meet has been solid, and we like to see that level of competition come to our place. And so we just keep trying to do the best job that we can from a staff perspective and host a good meet. It takes a lot of things, but the staff that we've got is outstanding, and they really put things together. So hopefully those teams keep coming back and getting what they need out of this competition.
Well, you have about 4 weeks of the season to go because the MIAAs are the first part of May. What does your outdoor schedule look like the rest of the way?
So we'll have, as we talked about, we have the high school meet next weekend. Unfortunately, we had to cancel our first meet last week, so this would have technically been meet 2 for us. But we'll have an off weekend as a team next weekend. We'll host the high school meet on Friday and give the athletes Saturday, Sunday time to recover. And then we'll come back and we'll go down to Pitt on the 8th. We'll come back from that and we'll follow up at Kansas Relays. From there, we'll host one more meet, our senior day, the Midwest Classic, on April 22nd. Then we'll go back to Kansas for the Rock Chalk Invitational and then MIAA Last Chance and Outdoor Nationals in Pueblo. So we'll be pretty busy for the rest of the spring.
Well, Coach, thanks for taking time out and visiting with us today. Have a great day today with the rest of the ESU relays, and good luck the rest of the season.
Hey, thanks very much. Appreciate you guys having me.
That's Emporia State track and field coach Steve Blocker joining us here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. Again, the ESU relays resume this morning at 11:30 with field events, and then noon the track events will get underway. And if you're looking for something to do this afternoon, head on out to a Welch Stadium. There is an admission fee, I believe, for the ESU relays, but a great afternoon, and hopefully the weather will the sun will stay out, then the temperature will warm up a little bit, and we'll see some decent competition today as the ESU relays wrap up. We'll take our second break, and we'll be back with more on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We're driven by LongmineAuto.com.
At Longmine Auto Plaza in Emporia, our annual March Savings Mania event is back for another year. The fun is here, and so is your chance for special March savings. We have new Chevy models in stock and more arriving every day. Save thousands in interest alone with 0% APR financing up to 36 months on select new 2023 Chevy Silverado models, including crew cabs. And when you purchase any new or used vehicle in stock, you'll get 5 free throw attempts for an extra $100 savings for every free throw you make up to $500. Don't forget to let our service professionals keep your vehicles running in top condition with our spring service specials. It's our annual March Savings Mania Sales event, and it's right here at Longmine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come in today or visit us at longmineauto.com. Chevy, find new roads. Offers for qualified buyers with GMF financing. All rebates assigned to dealer, tax and fees extra. See dealer for full details.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday Morning Sports Talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back, Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongmineAuto.com. Greg Ray along with Dylan Sherwood and other, as we mentioned early on, the Emporia State women's tennis team also in action today. They'll be hosting Nebraska Kearney. That match gets underway at 12:30 at the Kossover Family Tennis Complex, and then they'll be in action again tomorrow hosting Fort Hays State as they get into MIAA play. Both those matches, duels, will be held at the Kossover Family Tennis Complex. If it's nice enough, they might get some matches outdoors, but you know they'll be able to play indoors with the Kossover Tennis Family Complex. Emporia State baseball team, they're on the road this weekend. They're playing at Missouri Southern. Rough day for them yesterday as the number 7th ranked team, Missouri Southern, in the nation defeats Emporia State 13-0 in 7 innings. Same two teams again today, and they'll wrap up that series tomorrow. Also going on tonight over at White Auditorium, Flint Hills Optimus All-Star Games will be played. As close to, 40?
It's going to be around 40. I know Ken Hansen has let me know about some changes this week, but around 40, so they'll be ready to go.
40 of the top area high school senior girls and boys players will be participating, and this is always a fun time. They have some different rules for end-of-game situations and try to make it fun for the basketball players. And for some of them, this will be their final high school for all of them, it'll be their final high school basketball mm-hmm. game, and for some of them, it'll be probably the final really competitive game that they may play in their basketball career. There are going to be a few of them that will be going on to play collegiately, but if you don't have anything to do this evening, you want to check out some of the best of the area high school basketball players, is players from Emporia High. The area high schools will all be participating. Girls game will tip off at 6, followed by the boys game at 8 o'clock, and if you can't make it to those games, we'll broadcast those for you on Mix 104.9.
yeah, I'm excited that to be on the broadcast with Michael Deeker tonight.
As Michael, who's been our area lead play-by-play guy and followed the Opie Eagles through the state tournament, and then, of course, you followed the Emporia High Spartans all season long, and good to see a couple of Emporia High players.
There are three, Ariana Hamilton and Rebecca Snyder. They're not on the same team, so I might be asking them what's it like facing each other. And then Parker Leeds is the lone Emporia High boys representative.
And again, that gets underway at 6, and for the girls, 8 o'clock for the boys. And all the proceeds from that help fund a lot of the activities that the Flint Hills Optimist Club does and provides throughout the year, and they do a lot of great things for area youth and supporting them. We can't go without talking about the NCAA men's basketball tournament, and they are down to the Elite Eight, and the Big 12 has two schools that are in the Elite Eight, Kansas State being one of them. You know, when I'm sure a lot of people put their bracket together, they had a team from Kansas playing in the Elite Eight, but they were probably the ones that have Jayhawks on the front of
Very
their jersey.
True.
But KU, unfortunately, eliminated from the tournament in the second round. But Kansas State remains alive, and wow, what a nice win for the Wildcats on Friday night, defeating Michigan State in overtime, 98-93. And when it comes to, when you watch that game, you're thinking, boy, this is a classic. There can't be any better games than this in this NCAA tournament. But then last night, the two number one seeds that were remaining get eliminated. And so for the first time in the history of the NCAA men's basketball tournament, no number one seeds in the Elite Eight.
That is shocking, because I ended up watching a little bit of every game last night, and just seeing Alabama go down, and San Diego State really wanted that game last night, and then I just knew Houston was gonna drop a game. I just didn't know when. I thought they would probably lose in the round of 32, but I mean, Miami, who made a Cinderella run last year in the tournament and ended up losing to KU in the Elite Eight, but they got Nigel Pack, who was at K-State. And Pack is just as good as he was when he was playing in the Big 12 for the Cats.
Could you imagine Kansas State, if Nigel Pack would have stayed at K-State? Of course, that would have changed the makeup of the team just a little bit. But if you put Nigel Pack on that K-State basketball team now, oh boy.
Well, I did see them last year a little bit when Noel and Pack were playing with each other. And just think, if Nigel Pack would have stayed with K-State, whew, man, I think they would have been a tad bit better. But then the pressure would have been off Marquise Noel not to score as much, but man, he's having a great tournament for K-State.
Yeah, he's coming off a 20-point, 19-assist ball game. He almost had a 20-20 double-double of points and assists, and he's getting a lot of recognition, which is well-deserved. And, boy, when you watch him play, he makes it look so easy.
Yeah.
And some of the assists that he gets are, you just say, wow. That's impressive stuff, because he's so aware of what's going on. He has such a connection with his teammates. Mm. They're able to finish. But there was a play in the game against Michigan State where I can't remember who got the assist, but it was a dime to Marquise Noel, who got an easy layup right underneath the basket. And I think it happened in the second half, but I can't remember who. And I go, well, that's impressive. Somebody puts a dime to the guy who's been dishing dimes.
Yeah.
And in case those are people are wondering, what's a dime? A great assist. And he has had a lot of those this season. And it's almost like, okay, are you? Is this pickup basketball here that you're playing, or is this a serious game? Because that alley-oop, the pass for the alley-oop behind the head dunk by Keontae Johnson in overtime with the game tied, you're wondering, okay, are you guys serious? Because it looks like he's having an argument with Coach Tang about what play they want to run, and he's not sure, but then all of a sudden, there's the alley-oop dunk.
Yeah, and it would be great to see K-State in the Final Four, and Florida Atlantic, who's only lost three games this year out of the Conference USA. It's going to be a tough challenge, and with the Florida Atlantic, I've been watching a lot of their games. I watched their first round game when they played Memphis, and really wanted them to win that game, and they did. And then they got to play Fairleigh Dickinson, and they got tested there. And then they got an opportunity to beat Tennessee and just kind of took over that game in the second half on Thursday night.
I was watching a little bit of that game after K-State had won their game, and I'm wondering, okay, who do I want K-State to play in this in the Elite Eight? I felt like if they were to play Tennessee, that'd be a really big challenge because mm-hmm. Tennessee's a physical basketball team, and I don't know if Kansas State can match up with that physicality, especially in the post. But you look at Florida Atlantic, and they're a team that they're very good offensively. They may be a little suspect defensively, but this is going to be a tough matchup for Kansas State. They got Florida Atlantic has some players that can play, and it's going to be a really interesting matchup. It's going to be interesting to see how Coach Tang and his coaching staff, what kind of game plan they put together for Florida Atlantic.
Well, it's got to be something very similar to what K-State has done the last two games, facing really good powerhouses in basketball with Kentucky and Michigan State, who have won national championships in the past.
And that's the other interesting thing. You look at the eight teams that are left. I guess UConn has won a national championship.
Yeah, their last one was 2014. They were a seventh seed in that tournament. And that was when Kentucky was the eighth seed, and then Kentucky ended up beating Wichita State in the round of 32, and that was when they had the Harrison twins I think it was Shabazz Napier or maybe even Kemba Walker that was on that UConn team that helped them win the national championship in 2014.
But the other regional semifinal besides Kansas State and Florida Atlantic today will be out west, where Gonzaga will play Connecticut. Gonzaga rallied for the win over UCLA. It needed a last-second shot to win it. Thursday was full of exciting regional semifinal games, and then there were a couple blowouts. And then last night, of course, Creighton defeats Princeton in the South. And they'll play San Diego State tomorrow as San Diego State upends Alabama. And in Kansas City, tomorrow Texas will take on Miami. Texas a winner over Xavier. And Miami, of course, upsetting Houston. So the Big 12 has two teams still alive in the NCAA tournament. We could see two Big 12 teams in the Final Four in Houston. And they could be, they're on the opposite side of the bracket, so we could have a Big 12 championship game, but there's a couple games that have to be played before that can be talked about.
That Texas team is playing really good right now. Once KU had clinched the Big 12 outright, KU and Texas had to play each other 3 weeks ago in Austin, and Texas put on KU, and then they met in the Big 12 championship tournament game, and then Texas kind of repeated that, and Texas has just been playing some really good basketball. Even though their game against Penn State was close a little bit in the round of 32, they were without one of their better players, Dylan Dessou, last night. He was on the bench with a foot injury. But even without Dessou, who had nearly 30 points against Penn State, but he was playing some really good basketball too. But that Texas team, the job that Rodney Terry has done since all the Chris Beard news happened, it's just impressive. They've been competitive in the Big 12, and they've been up towards the top. I know KU beat them in Lawrence, but Texas has got the better hand when it mattered the most.
Again, the Elite Eight beginning today. First game up, Kansas State, Florida Atlantic. That is a 5:09 tip-off. We'll have the game for you on Country 101.7 FM with Wyatt Thompson and Stan Weber. Pre-game coverage starts at 4. We'll also have that game for you on KVOE 1400 AM 96.9 FM from Westwood One. Our Westwood One coverage starts at 4:30, and then we'll follow that up with the West Regional Championship game between UConn and Gonzaga. And tomorrow we'll also have the South Regional Championship game that has Creighton taking on San Diego State, followed by the Midwest Regional Championship game between Texas and Miami. And that coverage tomorrow begins at 12:30 from Westwood One here on KVOE. Well, that's going to wrap it up for us here on this Saturday morning sports talk. Big thank you to Emporia State softball coach April Rosales. Again, the Lady Hornets in action this afternoon, taking on Lincoln. That's a 12 o'clock first pitch for the first game of the doubleheader, and we'll broadcast both games of that doubleheader for you on Mix 104.9. Also, a big thank you to Emporia State track and field coach Steve Blocker. Again, the ESU relays wrapping up today. Competition starts at 11:30 with the field events, followed at noon by the track events. And again, don't forget, coming up here on KVOE, NCAA tournament coverage beginning at 4:30. K-State, Florida Atlantic on Country 101.7 FM, coverage starting at 4. And over on Mix 104.9, not only Emporia State softball beginning at about just a little bit before noon, but also the Flint Hills Optimus All-Star Game. Games, make that plural, both the boys and the girls games, beginning at 6 o'clock with the girls game, followed by the boys game at 8 o'clock. Those will be broadcast on Mix 104.9 as well. For Dylan Sherwood, I'm Greg Ray. This has been Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We've been driven by LongmineAuto.com.
KVOE, live and local, 1400 AM and 96.9 FM, K245BQ Emporia.
From ABC News, I'm Brian Clark.
Tried to get ourselves into the middle part of the house, and we did. And we got in there, and obviously it was coming right behind us because as soon as we got in there, we heard a big boom.
Those terrifying moments overnight in Mississippi as tornadoes swept through, killing at least 23 people and injuring dozens. ABC meteorologist Rob Marciano in Rolling Fork says those numbers could grow given the scope of the devastation.
Now the sun is coming up, you are beginning to see just how complete this destruction and devastation is. Every industrial building has been wiped off, every car completely destroyed or flipped over, and then every home on this block also destroyed. And some of this debris is so compact, they've had to bring in heavy equipment just to piece through it to try to find any survivor that may still be here.
State officials say those numbers are likely to increase. President Biden Friday said he ordered an airstrike on Iranian-backed militants in Syria after a drone strike on a base in Syria killed an American contractor.
The United States does not emphasize seek conflict with Iran, but be prepared for us to act forcefully, protect our people.
He was in Canada. He met with Prime Minister Justin Trudeau. The two reached a new deal on migration intended to slow the flow of asylum seekers from Central and